Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is atonement? Well, it's forgiveness, but there's more to it than just forgiveness, isn't it? So what does it mean to atone? Well, you make things better, right? Okay. To get forgiveness, do we have to earn anything? But yet, atonement almost is like earning something, isn't it? But we're supposed to atone for what we do wrong, right? All right, well, so what in the heck does that mean? There's that good Lutheran question. What does this mean? Okay. And I think it means this. If you ask for forgiveness, you know, I think it's one thing that the 10-step programs for AA has got right. You go back and you go to everyone you've ever wronged and ask for forgiveness. So why is that important? Well, it means I acknowledge I've done something wrong. Will you forgive me? If you look at the word atone, think of it in English. At one. You know, and the thing is that when we look at words like this, many times if you tear it apart, it starts making sense. To become at one. All right, so you go in and ask for forgiveness, right? All right, Gene, I've wronged you. I kicked you in your knee. No, that's all right. Boy, that would really wrong you. Okay, but to make it up, I'm going to go in and say, Gene, would you forgive me? I was wrong. Okay? We are trying to get back in communication. We're trying to become friends. We're trying to be one with each other. At one. Make sense? Okay, and that is so important. All right, that ends my sermon today. I'll be quiet. You should be so lucky. You know, there's so many things here, especially in our gospel lesson. Fran, in Bible study, 2 weeks ago, asked me about, did Jesus really have brothers and sisters? Well, did he? Does Scripture say that? But yet, if you come out of a Roman Catholic background, no. Mary was perpetually a virgin. How could she have kids? Well, if she had one, okay, she can have other ones, right? Well, the thing is that, yeah, are they full brothers and sisters or half brothers and sisters? Half, okay? But yet, they all grew up together. We do know that Jesus' brother James was the head of the church in Jerusalem, right? All right, so if that's the case, did he have a brother we know about? Sure. And so when you start looking at things like this, folks, it's really important because he did have a family. But what does Jesus say? Hey, listen, Jesus, your family's out there. They want you to get your butt in gear and get out there and go home. Yeah. What does Jesus say? Okay. Truly, I say to you, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? Now, here's one of the things I found very interesting. When I did this, in the ESV, it says mother and brothers. It didn't say anything about sisters. Went back and looked at the King James. Mothers, brothers, and sisters. Went back and looked at the Greek. Mothers, brothers, sisters. So why did they take it out of here? Well, you know, this is the Lutheran translation, is the ESV. And there's a lot of things that I really question. But you take a look at this and say, well, in this time period, women are not important. You know, it's just like the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. Those are men. Were women there? Were kids there? But we don't count them. We just count the men. So what I have a feeling somebody was thinking, this is called a higher critical way of looking at Scripture. Well, since women aren't unimportant back then, we're going to take the sisters out. Is it in the original Bible? Yes. You don't take it out. When I was looking to go to the seminary, I had been in the ELCA, 25 years. Pastor Don started in the Missouri Synod, went to the ELCA. I mean, it was a great church. It was the biggest one of all the Lutheran churches. So Wartburg College in Iowa had a online class, video class, for one of the seminaries. So I thought, well, I'm going to make a decision. I had already been to Fort Wayne for the Missouri Synod. I said, let's take a look at this. So I sat through this class. Well, I don't want to have anything turned in a paper that says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Well, that's what Luther says the jobs of them. You know, the Father's the Creator, Jesus is the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. That's what Luther says. But he still calls them Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When you start changing Scripture, what do we lose? All right, now I'm talking about atonement today at one. If they change the Scripture, are we at one with the Scripture? No, we aren't. I think you know how much time I put into the Greek Bible. Why do I do that? That's the original language. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us that we could have eternal life in heaven, right? Except I showed it to you when I do the translation in the Greek. It's a lot stronger and heavier in Greek than it is in English, isn't it? So when you take just that part out of John and look at it, think what the rest of the Bible is like. All right, Paul. Paul is sarcastic. And it comes through in Greek. And he also liked puns. A man after my own heart. Because he'll make puns in Greek. Okay? The play on words. Where was his pun jar? But folks, if he's being sarcastic about something, and we have it come through as being soft and nice in English, are we getting what his message is? No. You're not at one with the Scriptures then. Well, what do you do? Well, part of the thing is we have what is called an interlinear Bible. And you're very welcome to look at this sometime. Because I leave it here. I've got a copy at home, too, and it's all online. So, but the thumb through something like this is really interesting. All right. Show and tell. Here is the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, they have the King James here. And then here is the Hebrew, with underneath it, the English. And if there's a word that could be taken two different ways, both words are there. Okay, there's usually a parenthesis around them. Now, Hebrew reads from the right to the left, not the left to the right, so you got to read it backwards. Okay, but you can get the gist by doing this, and that you don't have to be trained in both languages. Okay, same thing here when we get into Greek. It's set up that way, except Greek reads left to right. But Greek, you can almost sit down with sometimes and get a real good smattering of what it is if you can read the alphabet, because a lot of our words are the same. Okay, they come from Greek. But when we start looking at this, if you're not a strong linguist, at least you can get an idea of what the original translation is. The Interlinear Bible. inter, you know, among linear, the lines. And they're $30. You can get them online. This one I think I got used from Amazon for $10. You know, it's those kind of things. It's nice to have this stuff. But the other thing is, if I'm going to be studying, now like today we had Mark as our reading. This is Synopsis of the Four Gospels. This one happens to be in English. I have it at home in Greek, okay? And I study it in Greek at home. I don't study it in Greek here. But if you've got a Bible study or a Bible verse here, what it does is it goes through all four Gospels and shows you how it's dealt with in all four Gospels. Because many times, the stories are different. Well, now, wait a second. How do we do this if the stories are different? Huh? Exactly. You know, let's say there's an accident and the police come. And we have a bunch of witnesses. The police go and interview the witnesses one at a time, not together, not corporately. Okay? And they talk to them. And then you might find out if you have 10 witnesses, you got 10 different stories. So then they got to sit down and figure out, all right, by looking at these 10 stories, can we figure out what actually happened? Because as Gene just said, you got a different perspective from each person. Well, it's the same thing from the apostles. And this is one thing, you know, there's supposedly the Q document, which is what everything is based on, but we don't know where it is. It's been lost. Okay. So as we read the information, if they were all based on the Q document, would they be different or the same? They'd be the same, right? But yet, a lot of these are different. Why? Because they were really there, they really saw, and certain things jumped out at them. To me, that tells me that this is true and not something made up, because you have different interpretations or different, what's the word you use, G? I don't remember. Perspectives on that. So when I see those kind of things coming through, it tells me that there is truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Jesus says that a lot in the King James, right? Truly, truly, I say unto you. That's what verily means. All right? So, truth is contained in here. But yet we know the apostles were real men. All right, so our goal is to get not only at one with each other, but at one with the Bible. What is atonement? Okay. Well, here's the thing. Were the apostles always right? Well, probably not. Why not? Why weren't the apostles right? Because they're human beings. Okay, they're sinners. Can a sinner make a mistake? Sure he can. And then what do you have to do? Well, I got to atone for what I just did. Okay, but here's the thing. Peter, Paul, and Bartholomew were in Galatia. And Galatia is Western Turkey. If you've ever seen pictures of the underground city of Cappadocia, that's Western Turkey. Okay. That Cappadocia, during the first 400 years of the Christian church, was the center of Christian thought. There were two places that were the center, Cappadocia, and of all places, Black Africa. Guess where the church is growing the fastest right now? Africa and Western Turkey. They're Muslim countries. You know, they're trying to stop this, but Christianity is really jumping. In fact, in Iran, they've got a huge underground Christian church that meets like this in people's homes. But anyway, so James from Jerusalem is sending out missionaries. Well, how do we know that? Well, because Paul's upset with them. He calls them false prophets, false teachers. And I'm, right now I can't think of the third one. I always do this. He doesn't like it. Why? Because they were preaching that you had to become a Jew to be a Christian. Okay? Now, I've talked about that before. Can you imagine as an adult, if you were a pagan, that guys had to be circumcised without any painkiller? Our father. So, what happens is Peter starts to backslide. And Paul says, you can't do this. That's not what the master taught. So Paul gets mad. And I've talked about this before. What do? They walk from Western Turkey to Jerusalem, 1,000 miles. And as I've said before, how angry do you have to be to walk 1,000 miles? Ah, pretty angry. So they get to Jerusalem. And they are responding with how things are going in Asia Minor, which is what that area is called. There's a verse in, is it the Acts of the Apostles later on, when it talks about Paul's missionary journey to that area, because he took three. Anyway, it said he presented the word to everyone in there. And you got to stop and think, if he's traveling all this way, we're talking about millions and millions and millions of people. Not bad for a guy that's, you know, ugly apostle, has a club foot and walks with a limp and stutters. But he gets mad. They walk back to Jerusalem. And Paul's talking to the apostles. And you got to remember, this is everybody that walked with Jesus. And said, how can you say, and look at who's sending these people out, James, the brother of Jesus. You don't think James knew Jesus? They grew up in the same house. And they said, hey, wait a second, you can't do this. And here's what happens. Peter stands up, and it's called Peter's Apology. And he stands up and he says, I was wrong. You do not have to be a Jew to be a Christian. Now, how do I know all this stuff? Acts 15. In the Bible. This whole story is there. And later on, the church called it the First Jerusalem Council. They had to become at one with each other. They had to atone and get back together again. I know it's getting heavy because I'm looking and people are... But part of the thing is, folks... Isn't that what we have to do with people who are important to us, is atone and get back with them and become one again? But then again, too, like anything else, it always takes two for that to happen, doesn't it? I mean, how many of us have problems with one of our children? Yeah, I said that and I saw, you know, people bouncing like that. And, you know, and that's the thing. You might want to atone. You might want to make things better, but if the other person doesn't, you're out of luck. But everything is in God's time, not our time. And so a lot of this stuff, and we saw this in the scripture today, is what did the Pharisees say? Well, he has an unclean spirit when they were talking about Jesus. Or he's crazy, you know, this kind of thing. Wait a second. How can you say he's crazy? Well, he's not talking the company line. He's not at one with them, is he? Or is it that they're not at one with him? With me? So, atonement. What is atonement? It is to become one, to come together again. In love, hope, joy, and peace. Now, is that a pretty good goal to have? I think so, too. And may this at oneness, this atonement, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, our next hymn.